Welcome to worship, everybody that's here physically. Welcome to those of you who are joining us online as well. We've got a lot going on this morning in this morning's worship service. The first thing to say is you'll be really pleased to know that, unlike what you thought, it won't be me preaching or giving the message this morning. It'll be Michael. Where's Michael? Michael is started as a local preacher with us. He's what they call on note, which just means he's an apprentice in training. Michael is with me for the next few weeks, and Michael will be sharing what God has for us this morning. So I'm really looking forward to that a little bit later. Some of you may be wondering what this pile of stones is that we have at the front of, I think it's called a dais, what we have at the front of the dais there. Well, it's because yesterday we met together at Penrith Golf Club as a leadership team and as the church council here to begin asking ourselves the question, where are we going as a church? What is God saying to us? Where is God leading us? We reflected, one of the things we reflected on was Joshua 4, when the Israelites were crossing the River Jordan, which apparently was about a mile wide, to get to the promised land. They'd spent 40 years in the wilderness, and as they went, somebody from each tribe took a stone from the river and they laid it as a monument or as an altar as a symbol of the fact that God had led them and been with them. We then reflected on 1 Peter, where it says that each of us now are living stones being built by God into God's temple. Each of us, that's the church, we're all living stones. And so we started to build the foundations of a cairn here. And it's going to stay here. It's going to stay here for at least the next 3 months, 3.5 months, to symbolically, if you like, represent our commitment as a church council and as a leadership team to listen to God and to follow where God is calling us. Then, at the end of July, when I get back from my sabbatical, we'll ask the whole church family to join us for a day or for a couple of days as together we discern what God is calling us to be as a church. And then each of you, each of us, will be invited to reflect and then to add your own stone as a pledge to your commitment to be part of the living stones that God wants to build in this place to God's glory. I'm excited about what God is doing in us and through us, and I hope that you will share in that excitement too. We're now into our second Sunday of Lent, and we're considering Passion in Communion, and Shane's going to share the Lent reflection for us. And then we will move into a worship song with the worship band. Thank you.
So for our Lenten journey this year, we are exploring different aspects of the Passion narrative. On this second Sunday in Lent, we recall that Jesus came to bring us into communion with God. He said, "When I am lifted up, I will draw all people to myself. Abide in me, and I will abide in you. Remain in my love." So God's promise to us is that he will never leave us or forsake us. And this cup represents the new covenant between God and his people. So we read from the first chapter of Mark. "And a voice came from heaven, 'You are my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased.' And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild beasts. And the angels waited on him." So we place this communion cup at the foot of our Lenten cross to remind us of the communion we enjoy with God through Jesus. Let us pray. God of covenant love, help us to know this intimate communion with you, which you came to bring. May we even now encounter your presence, and may your presence remain with us always. Amen.
Welcome, everybody. The John the Baptist message was, "Repent and believe." And he echoed the voice of the prophets who had gone before, preaching, "Turn and live." And our first song that we're going to join together singing is Praise is Rising. And we too reflect that we turn to the living God this morning. So please join with us, stand as you're able to sing Praise is Rising, Hosanna.
Praise is rising, eyes are turning to you, we turn to you. Hope is stirring, hearts are yearning for you, we long for you. Cause when we see you, find strength to face the day. In your presence all our fears are washed away, washed away. Hosanna, Hosanna, you are the God who saves us, worthy of all our praises. Hosanna, sound of hearts returning to you, we turn to you. In your kingdom, broken lives are made new, we make all things new. When we see you, we find strength to face the day. In your presence all our fears are washed away, washed away. Hosanna, Hosanna, you are the God who saves us, worthy of all our praise. When we see you, we find strength to face the day. In your presence, all our fears are washed away. Cause when we see you, we find strength to face the day. In your presence, all our fears are washed away, washed away. Hosanna, Hosanna, you are the God who saves us, worthy of all our praises. Hosanna, Hosanna, come and have your way among us, we welcome you here, Lord Jesus.
Let's pray. Oh God, we do come with joy this morning as we sing Hosanna, despite what's going on in the world around us. Of course, in all the awfulness that there is, yet, despite all of that, we know that you are a God who made everything good in the first place and who is in the process of restoring all of your creation to the way that you'd always intended it to be. Thank you, God, that in Jesus you came and you died and you gave your life and you rose again to give us hope for a future, to give us the promise of a tomorrow that will be good, all good. And so we do praise you. We do adore you this morning in this place. Oh, and it's good to be here with each other too, to remember that we are your family, that we are in communion with you, God, but also in communion with one another, connected and joined as living stones being built into your temple that reflects your glory. And whilst we rejoice in that, we're also aware, though, God, that so many times we do things, we say things, we behave in a way that kind of forgets that you are building us into living stones. We kind of forget and ignore your desire for communion with us, your presence with us. So for those times when we've gone our own way, Lord, we do pray that once again in your mercy you would forgive us. And we pray that now you would create in us clean hearts. Lord, have mercy on us and fill us once more with your Holy Spirit. That in this place, in this time together now, we might encounter you. We might know communion with you and communion with one another. That we might be blessed by you and be a blessing for you. For we ask it all in the name of Jesus. Amen. One of the things that we were reflecting on yesterday in our away day as a church council was the word connection or connectedness, and how it's amazing that we're connected to God. But also we were reflecting on one of the great things about being church is the connection we have with each other, that we're family. You know, whatever age we are, whatever style of music we like, whatever clothes we're wearing, whatever, in all of our differences, we are all children of God, loved by God, and we're all the bride of Christ, and we're all family together. And so it's great to celebrate being family. And so we're going to do something a little bit in that vein now. John Carr. John, I wonder if you'd mind coming up to the front with me now for a second. Everybody know John? John, of course you know John. John has been here miles before I was here. In fact, do you know, John was ordained as a Methodist minister the very year that I was born. Can you believe it? And I'm really old, so that means you must be even older, John. 1962. That means that John has been serving as a minister of God in the Methodist Church for 60 years this year.
Right.
And I've no idea how long John's been... And I'm sure that John's been preaching and ministering for far longer than that.
Yes, indeed.
How long?
70 years.
70 years, can you imagine it? And, you know, a couple of things have happened, okay? One is that John, after all this time, I just think it's completely out of order, to be honest with you, but John has decided that perhaps it's time he hung his preaching boots up. And, you know, John still likes to keep fit. He goes down to the gym nearly every day.
Yes.
Nearly every day John's at the gym. But he's decided that perhaps he's done his time, he's done his service in terms of preaching and leading worship. And so it was supposed to have been your last service a few weeks ago.
But
we've asked John if he can come and take one more service, which will be Easter Sunday at Stainton, and that will be your last service. So I wanted to say in this place this morning a big thank you to John from all of us, from all of Circuit, from all of Connection, for all of your amazing years of service. And there's one more thing, is that a couple of weeks ago, John celebrated his, you won't believe this, his 90th birthday. And so I also wanted to say happy birthday to John. We couldn't do it on your birthday because you had better plans for the day rather than come in here with your family. But this morning we have got, perhaps we can all sing happy birthday to John first. Happy birthday to you. Out, John? Yay! Happy birthday. And John, be careful with these because they've got... These are some flowers as a small token of our appreciation from everybody in this church and this circuit for all of your amazing service all the years.
A little while ago...
do you want a microphone, John?
My wife died. Some flowers were sent for me to my home. And being a bit of a male, well, I said, what on earth is a man one flower for? I always have a bunch of fresh flowers on my table every day. Thank you, and I shall treasure these as well. Thank you very much indeed. 1947, it was the important day in my life. 1947, September the 14th, in the little tin chapel, I surrendered my life to Christ.
Excellent.
I was only 14 years of age then. 2 years later, I began preaching. And in 1951, when I was in the RAF, I qualified as an accredited local preacher.
Wow.
After that, I came home for 5 years. And after that, I went to Cliff College as a student. Then I went to Alderney as a lay pastor. And then to Headingley, Wesley College Headingley, for 3 years training. And then back into circuit in Weardale in 1963.
Wow.
I was ordained in 1965, and you're right, it's 60 years next 60 year years. Since I, since then. I've had a really wonderful life. I thank God for a lovely, loving, charming wife and a very supportive and lovely family, and for a faith that's been strong and kept me through the years. I thank God for that. Thank you.
Brilliant. Just before you go, John, I'm going to take the microphone back off you.
That's beautiful.
And just say a little prayer of thanks. Let's just pray. God, I thank you so much for John, Lord, for what you've done in his life all of those years ago and what you've continued to do, I'm sure, every single day since then. Thank you, God, for the joy that you've given John, for the hope that you've given him, for the strength that you've given him. And thank you, God, that he's been able to share your love, your grace, your wonder with so many people over so many years. And so we thank you for him, Lord, and we rejoice in that. And we celebrate with him his 90th birthday, and that he is, as we were hearing about Jesus when he came out of the waters, so with John too, so with all of us. You, John, are my dearly loved child, and you bring me great joy. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank Bless you, John. Do join us, everybody, for coffee and tea afterwards. We're going to have some tray bakes and some little cakey things. We couldn't make a big enough birthday cake for everybody, but we're going to celebrate with John over coffee and tea afterwards. So do join us for that if you can. It's time we sang again, and this is a great hymn. We're thinking about communion with God. We're going to sing number 345, I believe it is, although the words will be on the screen. I'm just looking it up now because I want to read you some of the words from the last verse. This is a great hymn, And Can It Be? And the reason that I've chosen this one is, like, in the last verse it says, no condemnation now I dread. This is what this is what passion in communion means. Jesus and all in him is mine. Alive in him, my living head. I'm clothed in righteousness divine. So let's stand as we are able, as we sing, And Can It Be?
The readings are John 15, verses 4, 5, and 9. And if you want to follow it in the Bibles, it's on page 1083, or on the screens, or you can just listen to me. And Luke 22, verses 14 to 20, which is on page 1058 in the Church Bibles. So, starting with John 15. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you here bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. And Luke chapter 22, verses 14 to 20. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table. And he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Amen.
The words you are about to experience are true. They will change your life if you let them. For they come from the very heart of God. He loves you, and He is the Father you have been looking for all your life. This is His love letter to you. My child, you may not know me, but I know everything about you. I know when you sit down and when you rise up. I am familiar with all your ways. Even the very hairs on your head are numbered, for you were made in my image. In me you live and move and have your being. For you are my offspring. I knew you even before you were conceived. I chose you when I planned creation. You were not a mistake, for all your days are written in my book. I determine the exact time of your birth and where you would live. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. I knit you together in your mother's womb and brought you forth on the day you were born. I have been misrepresented by those who don't know me. I am not distant and angry, but am the complete expression of love. And it is my desire to lavish my love on you, simply because you are my child and I am your father. I offer you more than your earthly father ever could, for I am the perfect father. Every good gift that you receive comes from my hand, for I am your provider and I meet all your needs. My plan for your future has always been filled with hope, because I love you with an everlasting love. My thoughts toward you are countless as the sand on the seashore, and I rejoice over you with singing. I will never stop doing good to you, for you are my treasured possession. I desire to establish you with all my heart and all my soul, and I want to show you great and marvelous things. If you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. Delight in me, and I will give you the desires of your heart, for it is I who gave you those desires. I am able to do more for you than you could possibly imagine, for I am your greatest encourager. I am also the Father who comforts you in all your troubles. When you are brokenhearted, I am close to you. As a shepherd carries a lamb, I have carried you close to my heart. One day, I will wipe away every tear from your eyes, and I'll take away all the pain you have suffered on this earth. I am your father, and I love you even as I love my son Jesus. For in Jesus, my love for you is revealed. He is the exact representation of my being. He came to demonstrate that I am for you, not against you, and to tell you that I am not counting your sins. Jesus died so that you and I could be reconciled. His death was the ultimate expression of my love for you. I gave up everything I love that I might gain your love. If you receive the gift of my son Jesus, you receive me. And nothing will ever separate you from my love again. Come home and I'll throw the biggest party heaven has ever seen. I have always been Father, and will always be Father. My question is, will you be my child? I am waiting for you. Love, your dad. Almighty God.
Come to you with enticing words of man's wisdom, but with the power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. I'd first like to thank you for coming today and for giving me the opportunity to share my faith through local preaching. I haven't always been comfortable with the word preaching. It is much like the phrase speaking to and not speaking with. However, I can imagine that at times preaching is a fundamental necessity to speak directly to our hearts and minds to bring about correction or change that might be necessary for our lives. Jesus was an amazing and compassionate speaker, often sharing his stories and metaphors so that whomever he was in his company could understand, and is my hope that I'm able to share with you the same way under the influence of the Holy Spirit. As you can tell from my accent, I'm not from around these parts. I have lived in the UK for nearly 15 years, having moved from the United States. I was born and raised by a pastoral Christian home that actively worked in a small country church in Central Florida. My conversion was quite unique and came when I was about 5 or 6 years of age. While playing upstairs in a childhood home at a church parsonage, it was a moment that I felt the presence of the Holy Spirit come upon me. And my mom found me crying on the steps of the stairs and led me in a simple prayer. That was the true beginning of my communion in faith with Jesus Christ. From that moment, I have always felt God's presence in my life. I have even felt on many occasions He's spoken directly to me. Have even felt I have seen many challenges in my life, but never, not once, ever felt alone or abandoned by God. In fact, it was in some of the darkest of times that God was the only light and hope to carry me through. And now I feel divinely God has brought me to Penrith Methodist Church for such a time as this. How ironic that within this series on the Passion, we approach the theme of communion, when in the past year, this church has been on a journey, a passionate journey, and now arriving to a call of communion. I will share with you that our challenging journey this past year is not exclusive to us, but has been a shaking within the churches and within people of faith since the pandemic. In fact, during this time of emerging from the isolation, we are reevaluating how we connect with those in the church, the local community, and the greater world at large. During the pandemic, almost all churches were catapulted into updating to modern world through necessity in technologies to reach others through Zoom, YouTube, and other social media platforms to continue to communicate and keep people connected, all of which are exactly a part of what we have been exploring today in the Passion in Communion. I want to begin with the definitions of both words, passion and communion. Passion is defined as suffering, an intense, driving, and overwhelming feeling or conviction or ardent love or affection, or can be an object of desire or deep interest. Communion is an act and an instance of sharing. It's communication. It is Christian sacrament in which consecrated bread and wine are consumed as memorials of Christ's death, as symbols of the realization of a spiritual union between Christ and ourselves. Communion is equally being sat alone in a mountain or a fell, being present in God and nature. Communion is a body of Christians in common faith, discipline, and unity. And when I say unity, it is not always having the same opinions or the same personal convictions, but a sheer act of loving their neighbor as themselves. Now, I could just about end my talk there in those definitions, as I'm sure that for some of you, that the Holy Spirit is already stirring something in your heart. Stirring in our hearts, as He probably has for the past year, because like in Acts 17:28, it says, "In Him we live and move and have our being." In today's Bible readings, we approach the table of the Last Supper, where Jesus, just days before His death and resurrection, just days before one of His own betrayed Him, just days before His closest scattered, and one even denying He knew Him. This last intimate meal, significant in the act of communion, that would be a practice that even today, even this morning, we partake in, approaching His table to share in communion. However, just as then and even now, we can completely miss this whole point, the whole experience. If we lack the understanding, and or probably more accurately, miss the opportunity once again. You see, Christ came to live among us, to share in our experience, in this experience, this mortal experience. In fact, as mysterious as it is, it was God with us. God sending his Son to live as a mere mortal human, to suffer as a human, to die and be laid in a tomb, to then be resurrected, later caught up in the sky to fulfill Scripture, that the Holy Spirit could come so that God could then be within us. Omnipotent and omnipresent, all-powerful, all-present. His divine plan, that there be no location that he does not inhabit. It means his divine presence encompasses the whole of the universe. It encompasses us. This communion, not just an act of taking part in the sacrament, bread and wine representing a metaphor of what and why Christ was going to be doing and the ultimate and only sacrifice needed for us, but expanding out and actually becoming part of God. In communion, in communication, intense sharing, spiritual union with God, in common faith, discipline, and unity with others. In John we read, "Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear forth fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me." And going back to the definition of passion, that of suffering, intense driving and overwhelming feeling of conviction, an ardent affection, God calls us to that same passion in communion. This intense driving force, conviction, and ardent affection to be in unity with God and those around us. This brings me to the many messages and sharing we have experienced in the past year, and specifically this past month. God is calling us to communion, to a spiritual union in God, calling us to be in unity and common faith with those around us, and even more reach, ever stretching ourselves to welcome others, reaching a lost, and in many cases, a hopeless world. He said if we remain in him, he also remains in us, that we cannot grow or flourish without him. Just a few weeks ago, Morgan did a profound interview within his own sermon, one where images of this very church and all of its changes over the years were shown on the screens. Evidence that this church has continued to change and evolve. There was much talk about the glory days. That day was a significant turning point in my heart in regards to vision for the church of today and for such a time as this. In fact, I had a dream one night entering a different room within this church, noticing only a few in attendance, then being redirected to this main sanctuary filled to the brim. That, you see, God's hand is moving in lives. It was in that moment that I realized there are some of you that have been within this church for 10, 20, or 30 years or more, but you will live to be witness to another great move in lives, to not just fill this house, but change the face of Penrith, Cumbria. That quite possibly you will see wounded hearts return and come home. Witness that God, undeniable presence of all-powerful, all-knowing, and all-present. Our honoring the work and life of ministry of John this morning also encourages us to stand in faith, obedient, and willing to serve at no matter the age. John, as even many of you elders, have been and is continually being used by God, bridging the gap helping even in this journey by not giving up, not moving, remaining in God, passion in community, in communion, in unity. And maybe you have been feeling uncomfortable, challenged, and unsure of where you are going and where we are going. I am here this morning to remind and encourage you in Hebrews 10, 23 through 25. Let us hold unwavering to the hope we profess, for he who promises faithful, and let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as we see the day approaching. God is calling us today. He's calling you today to renew your passion in communion. Even you that have been walking this whole journey unwavering. He is calling you into unity, calling you back to him, that your faith and understanding, your concerns and your opinions, your habits and even your talents and your giftings be brought back to renewed state of passion in communion. That even in suffering you experience an intense, driving and overwhelming conviction, an ardent affection and unity with God and those in this church, and will in the coming weeks and months be coming into this church. They may not look like you. They may not even act like those that you've seen here before. They will probably come with much hurt and problems. They might not dress all that well or say the right things. They simply need a bit of grace, a bit of understanding. I will share, too, that this church took some brave steps, uncharted territory, towards being a church welcoming to all people. You do not even know or even understand that those such people, those once unwelcomed, individuals do not even know what faith looks like. They do not even believe there is a God, let alone one that can love them just as the hymn says, just as I am, without one plea. But that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. And are you truly ready in your hearts for them to come? I will share one more verse of that age-old hymn. It's ageless. Just as I am, thou will receive, will welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve. Because thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Are you ready and are you willing to renew your heart and your mind this morning? Passion in communion is more than partaking the bread and the wine and sitting down going through the motions of practicing church. One Sunday looking like the next. No, it is realization that you are looking, that you're part of the vine connected to the branch of God that bears fruit when we are in communion. When we are truly connected to everything, flourishes this church. We'll grow, we will witness undeniable changes in our lives and the lives of others. We could continue to sit here every Sunday choosing who we could come to listen to. Might be advisable, if you aren't wanting to grow, to just find a place where they say all of the things that you want to hear and make you feel comfortable with how things have been and think should remain unchanged. However, I serve a God that wants to do a new thing in our lives, wants those in union with him that want more of him and not just to sit by satisfied and comfortable all the time. Those wanting to continue to grow and see God's miraculous power at work in the lives of others. I will begin to wrap up things with some contemplations. Last week, brochures were placed on all of the chairs, sharing about needs and positions in the church that need to be filled, even simple things like making coffee. There are places of ministry that are desperately in need of your attention and help, no matter your age or skill set. You may think that you aren't all that talented or that you don't have the time or energy to help. Remember, you are the vine connected to the branch of God. I will say also for anyone that is going through a hard time, feeling isolated, feeling a little lost, for many, they don't have anything to offer others. The one thing that will get you right out of that unhealthy thinking is finding purpose. When you find purpose, soon those feelings and things that would hold you back will fade and be insignificant. This isn't a recent issue to challenges of finding help and people to serve others. The Bible says the harvest is plenty, but the workers were few. However, everyone can do the next command in that scripture. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. So even for someone that doesn't seem to think that they have time or ability, they can become part of prayer for those that can, for workers needed, and especially for those currently working. However, I want to encourage you all to find something that you can do in the advancement of the unity of Christ. For some of you, you may have to start at the basics of just changing how you talk about this church or those working in it. Your words should continue to be the encouragement and building up of the kingdom and not that of murmuring and complaining. You should go out of your way to be a support, praying for the strength to continue in this world of the Lord. Everyone here has an opportunity to walk out this passion and communion. When you see someone you haven't seen here before, welcome them to sit beside you. Introduce them to others. Stay after for coffee so that they don't feel alone. You may be the single person that brings them into the knowledge and love of Christ Jesus for the very first time. God is calling you today to passion in communion. I just want to ask everyone to close their eyes for just one moment. Let's just get present with the Creator of the universe. And if you will, just place your hand on your heart. Because in Matthew 6, it says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So we're going to speak into that, because whatever we focus on dictates our actions. A person's time, attention, actions, and energy will be focused on whatever they value above all else. This is where your treasure is. And a heart that treasures Christ will be revealed in how a person is living. Some of us may have not even begun living in this passionate communion with God, and he's calling you today to step in it. I take this opportunity to speak peace into people's hearts and lives, to speak healing for heart pains that haven't been dealt with, maybe held on bitterness or even guilt. We ask for your forgiveness. Today is the day to invite him back to reign in your life, to fill your heart with love and bring you back into communion with him, back into a relationship that's passionate. Now, part of that relationship you are actively going to participate in and have created an intention right now. And I want you to take a personal moment, now that you are fully present to God, speak to him for just a moment. Now, last, I want you just to listen. Listen to what he's saying to you personally.
For some of you, you may hear a voice or a thought in your head. For others, just stillness and peace. Wait with me now for that. You can open your eyes. God has spoken to you, or some of you, this morning. Some things might even be specific. If you feel you need to share them with someone, John, Tim, and myself will be in the designated reception afterwards and ask you to be bold and let one of us know what God said to you this morning. Peace be with you all this morning. We now continue the latter part of the service.
So now we come to the wonderful part of this time where we can, in a very practical way, put into practice some of those things that we've been listening about being in communion. We take bread and wine together to remember, to give thanks, to realize what it was that God did for us in Jesus, but also, far more than to remember, to take for ourselves again God's presence, God's communion with us as we take bread and wine. So I'm going to invite the worship band to come forward and lead us in a song as we prepare, whether the children want to come in now as well for this. And they will play for us. We'll sing together. You might want to stand as we sing, as we prepare the table to take communion.
As we move into communion is broken for me and broken for you, and in it we reflect on the cost that Jesus paid for us.
For you.
Just to let people know of the way that we'll do communion, we'll bring it round as we've done it in the past, but this time we'll do it slightly different than we've done it before. So what we'll do is when we come to that this part of communion, I will come round to downstairs with the bread, and Mary will follow me immediately then with the wine. So if we consume as we receive, that would be good. And I'm hoping that Trace will do the same for upstairs. But let's pray. Lord, we've just been singing about how your body was broken for us. And as we take this bread now, and as we break this bread, and as we take it ourselves, we do so remembering that it was your life given for us that enabled us to have this communion with you. Thank you for the connection that we have to you, the relationship that we have in you. We can know your presence in us, with us. We can know communion with one another only because of the life you gave. And so we give you thanks. And once more we come not just to give you thanks, we do that, but we also come to receive for ourselves again your grace, your love, your forgiveness, your wholeness. Lord, this world is so broken in so many ways. We think, of course, especially right now, of Ukraine. And there are no words, and we don't know how to pray, and yet we know that your life was given, your body was broken for the people of Ukraine, for the people of all of this world, that they might know peace, that they might know communion with you. And so we come also recognizing the hope that you wish us all and all of your world to know, that you died, you said, to lift all people to you. We remember that evening before Jesus died, and how he had supper with his friends, and during the meal took a loaf of bread and gave thanks for it, broke it, and passed it around them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Eat this and remember me." And then in the same way, he took a cup of wine and gave thanks and passed it to them, saying, "This is the new covenant between God and people, an agreement confirmed with my blood." And then the next day he died on a cross, and 3 days later rose again to new life so that we could know new life in you. And all we can do, Lord, is respond in love and joy and awe and wonder. We pray now that you'll send your Holy Spirit on these simple gifts of bread and wine, that they might become for us a taste of your great love for us and a means of us receiving your love once more. We bring to you our thanks and our praise, and we receive from you your love and your grace. Amen. This is God's gift given for us. Let us draw near with faith and receive once more from him. Thank you. pray, shall we? Lord, as we go from this place, may we know that we have been fed by you. May we know that we have been filled by you. May we know that you commune with us as we commune with you. And may we go into this world, into our communities, into our families, into our lives, sharing your communion with others, being your communion with others. Go with us and bless us. And be with us, we pray. For we ask it all in the name of Jesus. Amen.